Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of St. Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the scribes and the synagogue leaders and the priests, Jesus' enemies, as well as his own disciples, which were supposedly his friends, they were much alike in their confusion about Jesus and God's kingdom, what it was. Like even Adam in the garden, like us today, the devil, the world, our sinful flesh, it really prevents a pure hearing of the Word of God. If you look at the disciples' track record, that's very clear throughout Scripture. It was of doubt and unbelief. Repeatedly, Jesus faithfully taught his disciples what they were to know and to do. And they just as faithfully then and now, today, forget what Jesus taught. This is a classic illustration of that, because go back 24 verses to just the previous chapter, chapter 9, verses 36 to 7. We see there's a record of how Jesus called his disciples together. And what was the most significant question that they had? Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That wasn't a question about their concern for others. It was really a concern for themselves. Of course, we're all concerned about ourselves. But this was so large. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in response, Jesus called before them a little child, put the child right out there, an object lesson. And then he gave them a tongue spanking. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus' answer was really not about the greatest in the kingdom in a sense. It was about how not listening to God's word can cause us to lose the kingdom. The disciples' self-centered question demonstrated really blindness on their part about the defining work of Christ's kingdom, after all. The coming of children to it, whether they are old or young. To the Savior who is going to die upon the cross. Whoever receives one of these, he had said, 24 verses before this account today. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Now, had the disciples today now, as mothers are bringing these children before them, had they received those children, rather than turning them away, they would have demonstrated that they understood what Jesus had been teaching them before. But it was clear that they had not. Concern not for who is the greatest, but for who is the least, is what Jesus was occupied with. That would have signified an understanding of the kingdom, the nature of God's kingdom, which is really about what? About unassuming humility. That's what that child was presenting, which is tantamount, you might say, to repentance And it was also about unquestioning trust in Jesus. And we all know how children are. When you have them before you, they listen with large eyes. You tell them something, they believe it. That was the least thing on the minds of the disciples. That childlike attitude was missing in the disciples, and its place was the kingdom of ego, of self-glory. The memory of this lesson, spoken just a few days earlier, had been drowned out by an army of mother's feet bringing children to Jesus. That's what they heard. They didn't hear the message that Jesus had wanted them to hear, which would have been a message saying, come to the Savior, he's waiting. Jesus was there to bless them, and that's why they were bringing those kids. And here were the disciples, like what, attack dogs in some sense, turning them away. Now the Greek word is interesting here in one of the parallel texts about this. It's a word, brephos. It means that some of those mothers were bringing, the word means unborn child and embryos. Maybe some of them were pregnant, but they were bringing babies and infants, indicating that some of these mothers were going for Jesus to bless those children. So it's perfectly understandable why these words of this text today may be familiar to many of us, because Luther placed them in a text in a baptismal booklet in 1523, which shows up in the Lutheran Confessions, and it's still used in churches today for infant baptisms. Think about it. Jesus was commending the littlest of children, and from those words we know it wasn't walking children. A number of those children might have been carried, didn't know anything, didn't have reason, but Jesus was calling to receive all sorts of children. So the lesson listed this day, turning away from God's gracious promises, epitomizes the inclination of sinful hearts. Bringing babies to Jesus, or bringing our own hearts to Jesus, but certainly baptism signifies humility and trust in God's promises. That's what it's really about, God and his promises. It's the word that the disciples had not heard. It's the word in the garden that Adam and Eve had not heard. They were perfect. We are imperfect. The disciples are imperfect. Even the perfect disciples were distracted by what? An outside force, in this case, the devil, which led them with their perfect condition to go and turn away and to listen to something else. That's a theme in all of our lives, and it really calls upon all of us to repent of our sins, to turn away from Christ's instructions to self-made plans is to risk slipping entirely out of Christ's kingdom of repentance and faith. That's why he turned to them. They thought they were in the kingdom. He called them to repentance. That's a call to all of us, to repent and to be like children in faith. When Jesus notices his disciples turning away, not welcoming mothers and children, he reacts by pointing them again to his kingdom, which they had forgotten. And the Greek word there that is translated in your text, that he was greatly displeased, you know, suggests he was indignant, perhaps angry, because, again, he had taught these disciples this thing. Isn't it the lessons that we've been taught that we ought to remember? He had taught them this just a short time before, and they had already forgotten it. So he taught them again about the essence of the kingdom, and he said it was epitomized in the childlike faith that he had spoken about days earlier, and that is now even being demonstrated once again today. But the disciples were rebuking mothers and sending the children away. And so Jesus rebuked the rebukers. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So to emphasize the point, Jesus took them up into his arms, those little children. Notice that stark contrast, the disciples driving them away. Jesus takes them up into his arms. And he treats them as if they were his own children. And they were, and we are, when we imitate their childlike faith. He laid his hands upon them and he blessed them, just as the mothers had wanted. Just as our children are blessed when we take them to baptism. Because we're really taking them to the Word in, under, and with that water. Whatever our age, God calls us to look to Word and Sacrament as we faithfully remember the Word that He has spoken to us. This is the same Word that we keep hearing again and again, and it demonstrates our character. Professors at colleges regularly send students, right, to adult models of excellence and thinking. That's what we're all familiar with. We go to books, we read about this economist, this philosophical theorist, and so on and so forth. Adult models of excellence in thinking and action. I mean, after all, these sophisticated things really prepare us for life in this world, right, and success, we hope. But Jesus, here in this text, preaches humility and trust, and he reminds us that the message of the cross and the resurrection is a message that brings joy to our hearts when we receive it after the example of a child. And that's a very important lesson for all of us to learn. We get into our complex worlds where we have all of our problems, and Jesus says, go to the child. It's about humility and faith. That will always remain the model for us in our lives. And so today, as we leave, we take that model with us. Let us pray. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech you to keep us in the true faith, and because we have been baptized in accord with your command and promise and according to the example of your Son, we pray you to strengthen our faith. Make it a childlike faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and lead us to everlasting life and salvation through your well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.